Okay, there. Okay, now we'll try that again. I'd like to welcome you to the August 17th regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Can we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Luke? Here. Ms. Savage?
Here.
Ms. Powers is absent. Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. And now, if you'll all rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, the flag's right over here. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Okay, first up, I need a motion to adopt our agenda.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Okay, good. We are going to be making a presentation to our show choir, and I believe they are going to be on their way here shortly. You're just checking to see. Okay, yep, there's no public participation. All right, well, then we'll just wait for the show choir to get here. They have practice tonight, right? So they're here. In the meantime, Pam, would you like to, do you want to tell us a little bit about the season last year?
We had a great one. it really was a true, please help me out, parents. And we've got a lot of parents here too about the show choir. We had a great season last year, and here they come, so I'll
okay, good. All right. At least part of them.
Here they come. Come on in, guys.
If you just want to
yes.
Come right on up here, we're waiting for you. There you go, our entire show choir.
Don't be bashful.
Might be a little sweaty.
Yeah.
I hope you all are just here.
Hey, hello. Hi, Glenn. Yeah.
So I think about 2 or 3 years ago, we started recognizing things beyond the classroom, outstanding achievement by our student groups outside of academics. And so tonight is our time to honor our show choir for your performance actually during 2017. So this wraps up. We've had several months of recognizing groups. So you guys are our wrap up because actually you're at the national level. So we think that's pretty unique and want to honor and share that. Certainly, we're proud of your efforts, Mr. Alfair and crew. We have certificates for you, but to make it a little easier, we'll sort those out at the end. So Mr. Alfair is going to talk briefly about your season and all of your accomplishments. Doesn't have to be.
Oh, sure, sure. Good. And if I forget anything, let me know. They probably remember better than I do. So we had a very successful season. It was a really fun show. We won how many competitions?
Four
competitions. It's pretty exciting. The most exciting, like, capper to our season, though, was we tried a new competition that's in Atlanta. There are different ones throughout the country. And groups from all over the country come to these. The other finalists were from all over the place. Nebraska, I mean, everywhere. Virginia. And it's the first time that we won in national level competition against groups we've never see historically well-known groups, and it's just neat that this crew from this community can turn on this professional level national level show. Awards or not, they are professional and they are national.
Woo! If you guys don't mind extending as well, I think the board will come up here and shake your hands as well. But extending congratulations to seniors, since they've already left us probably and are are getting started in college, but their awards are in here as well.
Sure, we'll make sure they get it.
All right, congratulations.
Thank you.
Nice to see you.
Now, can you get the worst name change?
Yeah, you are.
I can't even do that.
City council.
Okay, let's try this. Beat our rival team.
Dude, that's what I was gonna say. I was like, our best accomplishment, beating Finley again.
Not only once.
We'll come back.
What?
But we're going to their competition just.
So for any of you who have never gone and seen our show choir, I highly encourage you to try and get there to see them. They put on an amazing show. So let's see. And next up, we already checked, there's no public participation. So next up, we have the High Point Report. And tonight, we're honored to have the first high school intern at Honda, Mr. Jesse Boomstra, along with our rep, Doug Trivington, and Mrs. Cooper is here as well. So feel free to join them, Tammy.
Okay. I think before Jesse gets going, I'll do my report, and
sure.
We'll just turn it over to Jesse. So good evening. July's report, the superintendent update. We did have a ribbon cutting last week on the Animal Science Building on the main campus. So a nice milestone for us to do these for this year. Dr. Smith, if you're not aware, he's been asked to kind of do double duty. The Midwest Association needs to replace their superintendent, and he asked the board if he could also do another job for 90 days to support them in the event they have their search. So the board approved that he could support the Midwest Regional Association. This year, we had 451 applications for the main campus, and it was accepted in 26. So, attendance and interest in the main campus at Ohio High Point is very high. All the satellites are, of course, getting ready for the school year and working, finishing up their summer activities. And last evening, we had an investment work review board, and had a session, a work session, looking at the last 20 years of Ohio High Point's investment activities, and very detailed study by the treasurer, and real interesting. Our next meeting, of course, is next Wednesday, and we ask a favor of our STEM school, and at Honda, we always try to build relationships with colleges and universities, and the STEM school was graciously allowing 12 of our college and university friends to come in and tour the STEM school. We want to thank you for that. Mm-hmm. And almost all of the colleges and universities, the career placement representatives, the ones who touches the students, and places them out in industry have never been to a STEM school. Mm-hmm. And so we've knocked their socks off with that too. So thank you, Allison, for that. And so we spent Dr. Smith came, Allison helped get a tour, and it was really, we're recognizing that there needs to be a closer partnership between STEM and the colleges and universities, and I think we had a nice first step. And I believe some of them reached out to you and tried to recruit some of the high school students to their colleges.
So, great.
So we're looking forward to that as well. All right. Also, we've had the real nice pleasure to work with Jesse Boomstra at Honda this past spring, and work with Tammy. And Tammy was calling me about every other week saying, "Can you take a student?" And I said, "Sure, I will take one." And we were fortunate to take Jesse. And he's got a little presentation to show you tonight and about his experiences at Honda. So I'm going to drive the computer here once you get it back up.
We thought maybe that the board could just turn around. We're not afraid of setting up tonight, so.
So I'm not quite sure how I'm going to go through the slides, but I'll do my best. So I was provided with the amazing opportunity to be an intern at Honda, and I'm really thankful for that, and it taught me some really amazing things. And I envisioned for our school to be able to have more opportunities like this, and for engineers especially, it's just really great to see what kind of opportunities are out there. So I was born in Marysville, Ohio. I've lived here my entire life, and I'm a senior in the first graduating class of the Marysville STEM School. And I'm in the engineering pathway. So the first place that I got to visit at Honda was the engineering center, and I went to the learning center, which is kind of where they send people so that they can learn the concepts of kind of what they're doing on the workplace. So some of the concepts that I got to learn were PLC, ultrasound, robotics, and a few other things that were really interesting.
What does PLC stand for?
Programmable logic controller. So it kind of just it tells the robots how to react in certain situations, kind of.
Okay.
And if something comes up like that, just ask me. I can clarify.
As you tell, I will.
And I got to sit down and talk to simulation engineers and reliability engineers, and kind of learn how they work with each other. Not necessarily something I'm interested in, but something just good for me to know, kind of what's out there. Next place I went to was the assembly department. So this was a really interesting place. I got to see the Smirk robot, which is essentially an enormous robot, which is just amazing to see how it works. I also got to see a lot of window sealing robots, which I really like robots. I think that's probably what I'm looking into going into. So that was really interesting for a practical application for that, and just seeing how that works. I got to talk to a lot of equipment engineers, which now I'm kind of thinking that's probably one of the directions I'm going to look into more. They're just always doing something different, so that was really cool for me. I learned about CATIA, which is their CAD program, so it's computer-aided design. It's similar to what we have at the STEM school, but it's not exact. So it's something that you can kind of adapt to. After that, I went to the paint department. One of the things I thought was really interesting is how few people they have working the entire department. So they probably only have two or three people working the entire hallway to paint the car. Another really interesting thing is that they paint so many cars that it only costs a couple $100 to paint cars. So that's something that is really interesting to me, because I like cars and I kind of know that paint jobs are one of the most expensive parts about the car. I also got the opportunity to go to the weld department. Again, I got to see the PLCs, so just how they work with each other, and the vision systems, and how the vision would work with the PLC to tell the robots how to react in certain situations. Another interesting thing was how they have multiple different brands of robots. So they don't just have one robot brand going through the entire thing. So not only do they have to talk through like different robots, but they have to talk through different brands of robots. So that was kind of interesting to see that dynamic. And just how much automation they have in the world department is incredible. So some of my takeaways were, as an engineer, I kind of thought that you get in a job and that's kind of what you would do. But at Honda, they just provide so many opportunities to move around and have different jobs pretty much every few years if you want to. And there's just not a huge amount of engineers going into the field, so there's so many jobs available. So that's something that STEM people can kind of fill that void. Engineers are always doing something different. So another preconception I had was that you kind of get in that job and that was your job, and you only do that. And that's really promising for me to hear, just because I like to do different things, but I also like the concept of being an engineer. And then going back to equipment engineering, I really think that's going to be one of the directions that I head. So while it was generally positive, there were some things that I think could be improved for the next opportunity, for this next one. And one of the things was to open up bump cap areas. So there were areas that associates had to wear a cap in order to be protected, just because it was a little more dangerous in that area. And I wasn't allowed in those areas. So it's kind of hard for me to understand some concepts just because I couldn't see the things that they were talking about. And it was mostly visual. I would like some more hands-on experiences. Also, it was only about a semester long, and I got about 32 hours total. So it was a lot. It was basically a very large tour for me. So that was really good, but I think if we could get it maybe like the entire school year, that'd be amazing for everyone. And then kind of just integrating what Honda's vision is for their future into our future, kind of bringing like concept cars or teaching about the smart corridor that's going right by our school, but we really don't know anything about it. So just really just getting to know us more and impacting us. So some of my future plans, I'd really like to continue my relationship with Honda, and I think as a school we need to continue our relationship with Honda because I think that's very vital. I'd really like to go into a four-year degree for engineering. I'm not 100% sure what that's going to be, but probably mechanical engineering. And again, I'd like to go into kind of just looking into equipment engineering and seeing how that might be a potential option for me. And just looking for more internships and job shadows in order to really gain more experience in the engineering field. So I'm really thankful for you guys providing the foundation for this. And are there any questions that I can answer for you guys?
So when you were there, like, was your day more like shadowing, or did you have tasks? What was a typical day over there?
So I went through multiple departments, and I didn't have much time then. So I would kind of just, I would walk through the plant, kind of see what people would do, and they'd give me tours and show me interesting things. And they'd answer any questions I had. I never really did any actual work. So it was more just me getting the experience of seeing like what they do.
You were just talking to people who were actually working that day? On the...
So did you get a chance to work with the maintenance technicians?
No, I did not. The equipment engineers are kind of like that. They fix some issues that are going on, but it's more on the engineering side. Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting to see.
Did you like the hands-on? The hands-on experience?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious. I know you didn't get to do a lot of hands-on stuff. You didn't really get to do the hands-on stuff, but did that impact when you came back to class? Like, I don't know. Did you just kind of have a different mindset coming back to class about what you're learning and
absolutely.
How it,
so
why it's important to know some of those things? Or
yeah, absolutely. So at the time I was taking a CNC mills and lathes, mm-hmm. so that was really, really impactful to kind of see like how what I'm learning can be put into a job in the future.
Right.
So that's just one example. It was just amazing to kind of see the actual product of what we're learning in school.
What about like mindset too? Like, could you really tell when you go out there in the plant? Is it collaborative? And you know, do you see a lot of people working on? Working, if they have problems or something, they're talking together, or was it more like station kind of stuff? Or
yeah, there's offices obviously, and they, mm-hmm. they collaborate a lot. They have, I think, weekly meetings mm-hmm. typically, so they collaborate on projects a lot.
Right.
So that was interesting to see, like, kind of we have a similar format.
Right.
With projects, we meet a lot. Mm-hmm. We talk through problems. So okay. Yeah, it was very similar. I was really glad to see that.
As you went through the first couple of years of your STEM school experience,
do you think that the experience and the preparation you got there helped you see and understand what you had an opportunity to observe, motivating you to want to do more?
Absolutely. So some of the things we learned were kind of interesting to see how it applied to that. That made it more interesting for me that I could know what they're talking about. They also taught us a lot through some, not classes, but I guess the Cult of Nucleus and some other things, just how to be formal with people and the really be professional, and that was helpful. Does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you mentioned taking the Honda Vision and incorporating some of those kinds of things in the STEM school. Do you have a specific example?
I'd love to see the prototype, the Nuvi. It's a concept car that's automated, and it's very futuristic. And I think if you brought that, or if Honda brought that to the STEM school, it'd spark a lot of interest in engineers. And I think it'd bring a lot more interest to engineering and Honda. So that not only help Honda, but it also get more engineers kind of focused on their future. Some little things that could really spark some interest would be really nice. Yeah.
Can I would like to just interject one
sure,
thing.
Sure, yeah.
He's telling about his experience. Yeah. When we met at the end of the school year with Jesse, Doug, and the people who worked with Jesse, mm-hmm. it was certainly a learning experience for them. Mm-hmm. Because as we sat there and talked, there was brainstorming going on. Well, if I would have known that he could have done this, or if there's this program on a computer where he's not going to get hurt, mm-hmm. we could incorporate some of that. So as we're sending the students out and they're learning, the businesses are taking us all in too. So it's just this big experience for everybody.
Right.
So I did want to share that because it's not just what Jesse got, but companies not realizing that Jesse was only a 16-year-old high school kid. And they,
right.
you know, so it was very positive for everybody.
Yeah, we asked Jesse to be honest with us and what did we do right, what did we do wrong, or what could we improve, and he saw some of those. But we were sitting in this room and had all four departments there. Every one of them wanted to hire Jesse. So he's got some tough ones.
Still
got
to go to college, though.
So we're not done talking about Jesse. So he's got a bright future wherever he goes. Thank you for
well, yeah, I mean, we couldn't appreciate more just the role model that you are for our district, because it sounds like they were very impressed with you, and just from your presentation tonight, it's clear that you listened very well when they talked about those soft skills, and that's so important, and really, I think that's what we hear almost the most about current generation, and oh, they don't have their soft skills, but you know, I tend to disagree. I don't agree with all of those, and I think you're a fine example of how to do it the right way. So, congratulations,
Jesse. I'd just like to thank you for being the guinea pig, right?
Yeah.
You were kind of our rookie, and we both learned and paving the way for other opportunities for kids. I hope that you don't underplay the foundation that you've built here, and certainly your teachers trusted you and picked a great choice to take that adventure, and we appreciate Honda's partnership. It took some convincing to have them take a high school student, so thanks for your representation. Well done.
Yeah. Thank you, Doug, and thank you, Tammy, as well. Okay. I think you're up next.
I am.
Superintendent's report.
So it's been an exciting week.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of little faces coming back to school. It's been lots of fun. We've started our kindergarten assessments this week, so everything has gone really well. Been very busy on top of that. So freshman first day, had a presence in there, watched the students in their scavenger hunt. So lots of good things happening throughout the district. Mm-hmm. I'd like to give you, do you have your flyer ready?
Sure.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'll give you a quick update on the stadium project. Our committees have met again. We reviewed and met with the steering committee and shared with them kind of the Bunzel project, because at the time of our last meeting, we didn't have the conceptual drawing, so we shared that with them. Mm-hmm. We also shared a pamphlet that you're going to see tonight and got input from them on some revisions, and you're going to see evidence of their revisions this evening. And I think we just received this freshly edited today, so I'll let Todd take this over because it's really his committee, but he does have a brochure for each of you as well.
Is it just one at a time?
I got all three.
Okay.
So go to the one that shows this. Okay. So these are hot off the press, so you guys are actually the first to receive those.
I'll take the checks. So, I'm with on the, I head up the finance committee. Lynette Fott heads up the marketing committee, and we've kind of collaborated together. So Lynette's not here today, but I definitely have to thank her. She has equally put in just as much work as I have into this. Since she's not here, I told her if she wasn't here, if you guys liked it, I would take all the credit. And if you didn't like it, okay. I would blame her for everything.
Gotcha.
So our committee worked on this. A lot of things had to be put in place before we could get this together. And I'd be remiss if I didn't thank Stephen Fisher from Creative Differences. Stephen is a Marysville graduate, and he volunteered his expertise as he works in marketing to really, you know, create the finished product that you see. He was very, very helpful and also very responsive, since we were working on a pretty tight time schedule to try to get this together quickly. So what you're seeing here, look just to the right for now, because again, this is a trifold. So I just wanted to show you the front page. Obviously, is, you know, the front page, what you're going to see first is a picture of the high school stadium, and we note on there to create a 21st century stadium facilities at Marysville High School and Bunsold Middle School that will provide for additional event opportunities for the schools and community. So when you open it up, go to a different page. Yes, perfect. Thank you. So while that's heading there, when you open it up, you're going to see a large rendering of what the high school stadium is projected to look like. And below that, there you go. Below that on the right is a smaller picture of the Bunsold Stadium. Our committee worked on what we felt like would be the, you know, some of the main questions that the community would be asking about this project. So we put those in here. I'm not going to read through everything, but we talked about, you know, why are we having a Monarch Stadium drive? The purpose is to create facilities that will enhance Monarch pride, provide safer, updated facilities, and rejuvenate a sense of community centered around student activities. You know, a big question obviously is going to be how much will these improvements cost? So we go into some details there, and we make sure to highlight that the funding of these projects will not impact current classroom and academic spending. You know, we talk about how the district is prepared for the project. You know, obviously a big question will be, will this project increase my taxes? And there's a big, bold no there. This will not increase taxes. We note in there that these facilities will increase the number of events that can be hosted at Marysville, which will increase revenue for our athletic programs, but also increase economic activity that will benefit our local businesses. And then if you want to go back to page one. No. The one to the far right. Okay, I'm sorry, individual. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. Yep, that's the one. Thank you. So there, this finishes up our questions there. You know, will community members have access to these facilities? And yes, there will be some access. You know, why are we doing a turf field versus grass? We talk about some of the safety issues there, and also note that with turf, this is going to really create a facility that can be used every day, as opposed to having to make sure it's kept in good shape for Football Friday. So this is something now that could be used by activities, basically 365 days a year, not just football. It'd be used by track, lacrosse, any event could be able to use that. And we talk about the importance of just extracurricular activities to the student experience. We give some key points and impact on the community. In the middle there, under investment opportunities, we've created two separate brochures. What you have here is what we're going to be targeting for individuals. So we list the different investment opportunities there at the top. We've broken it out, different lines. At the top one there is the Platinum Lion. With that donation level, the person would receive an all-year family pass with reserved seating at the football game for a 10-year period. They would get recognition at the halftime dedication ceremony dedicating the field. They would get recognition in the program at football games and also get their name on the partner wall. And then if you want to go to the business one, thank you. So then we're also going to have a brochure that we will be taking when we engage businesses for investments. So that really the only difference there is those investment opportunities are really geared more towards advertising opportunities at the stadium. So we go in there and talk a little bit about some of the different naming rights that will be available, such as naming the track stadium, potentially naming an end zone, naming the concession stands, so just some ways that the businesses will be able to have their brand really highlighted in the stadium where there's going to be a lot of people to see that. And then also I would note down at the bottom it says for more information or to donate online, please visit monarchstadiumdrive.com. Okay. That is under construction, okay. So you actually can go there right now. But really what you're going to see right now is just the renderings of the two stadiums.
Okay.
We're still working on creating
donate
that so that
button.
Actually will be a donate button.
Right.
But that part, we haven't got there yet.
Okay.
And some of those naming opportunities, there's just one of them. Mm-hmm. And then for the others, there's multiple,
Well, for instance,
you could have multiple businesses getting bleacher sections, for instance.
Correct.
But like the track stadium, that's one name. Okay.
Yep.
I think, too, the most important thing the committee wanted to reiterate and wanted to make sure the messaging was clear was this isn't just about a football stadium.
Right.
It's about a complex that provides lots of opportunities for multiple kids, from the band to outdoor activities, even with PE groups and et cetera, that we wouldn't not be able to host otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the big takeaways from every meeting. We struggled with it. Quite frankly, it is a stadium project, but it is just not a football stadium project. That we see more benefits to soccer, lacrosse, the band, and et cetera.
So who are these going to go to? This is actually really... from all the people I've talked to, these are exactly the questions that come up over and over again. So how are they going to be distributed?
Well, our committee's working on that right now, and we're going to our committee's kind of breaking up into different, sections as to who's going to be going out to the businesses, who's going to be going out to individuals, who's going to be going out to alumni, those kinds of things. So, we're working on that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And this will, be starting pretty soon.
Right. Would you anticipate having these at football games?
Absolutely. There's going to be
a
table at the football games. Yes.
As an information center for people?
Yep.
Excellent. Good. Well, I think this is great. I think, like you said, Brian, it seems to address everything and I like the fact that you bolded that. The funding of these will not impact current classroom and academic spending, because I know that's always a concern, because a lot of people just don't really understand that concept of the three different funds that we have and what they're used for. So, nice job. Nice work.
I know 45 years ago, when the park facility was put together. Lots of individuals and businesses and so forth came together, and I really appreciate that there's an opportunity for businesses to do that again. The facility we've had has served us well, but I think it's time to do something different, and I'm pleased that we have an overall picture, an overall plan to do things, and I know we discussed trying to phase things in, and from what I've seen, committees said we need to do this all at one project. And I think that's the appropriate way to do it. I think that was the way it was approached. That was a much more limited project at the time because of the numbers of sports that were involved and so forth. But I know that the focus of the people that were involved and the reason the businesses and community members supported it is because it was the right thing to do for the kids. And I think this is the right thing to do, and I think this is the right time to do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So I would also mention Convocation Day went off successfully. We talked about, which kind of leads into my next topic, our school report card. We talked about facing our realities with that report card. Certainly that report card is not where we want it to be yet. We do have a couple of appeals in with the state that we're waiting answers on, but initial reports would suggest that on the grade level indicators that we met 8 of 25 of those indicators. That being said, that is an F on the report card, but that being said, I would tell you that we had increases in the ELA grade levels, all but one. We had increases in the math at every grade level except for three, and our performance index went up 3.1 points. Mm-hmm. So indicators were headed in the right direction. We just need to stay intentional and on target with where we're headed, and that was kind of my message of Convocation Day. We also have significant data that shows our K-1-2 strand has never been stronger headed into the third grade year than this year's second grade class. So we're doing the right work. We just need to stay intentional and focused on landing there. Certainly there were other highlights across the district. We saw some significant growth at Creekview. The early college building had some scores in the 90% range that kind of topped out other high schools in the area. So we had highlights across the board, but I told the staff we had to face our own realities and take responsibility because we weren't where we needed to be yet. So I'll keep you updated as those are finalized. And talking to other, you know, superintendents in the area, we're all kind of in the same ballpark, but that's, we don't want to be in the same ballpark.
Right, because so. I went ahead and went on to ODE and printed off the front page report cards for probably about six or seven surrounding districts, and I think everyone that I printed off had at least one F on their report cards, and really I was proud of, because I know we do like to focus on that value added one, and we had the A in there. And
value added for this year isn't out yet.
So. Oh, okay, okay. Well, there one
that's
of those.
Probably last year's.
Oh, you think so? Oh,
I'm guessing.
I thought it was this year's.
I don't think they published this year's report card at all.
Oh, okay. Well,
then, it's confirming. So.
Okay, sorry. Well, then I was looking at last year's, but
we're proud of that A we got
last
year.
Yeah,
but
right.
The secure data center right now it's still internal.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
We can see those, but no one else
right.
can. And until all the data is cleared, we have a couple appeals. We believe we met the fourth grade indicator by one student.
Okay.
So that appeal is in. We have a couple other appeals in around gifted. So
right.
We have the chance to gain some, but at the end of the day, our big message is we just have to keep pushing the
right.
way we are. That our PI is increasing is a favorable indicator that we're doing the work we need to do to push kids to score at higher levels. So.
Mm-hmm. Is the all-day, every-day kindergarten, is that, because you mentioned first and second grade, this, you know, we're having a lot of there's a kindergarten, do you think, is there data that supports that that's making the change?
Well, that would be the K-1-2 data that I'm talking about, is that's higher than it's ever been before. Right. So when we look at the end of second grade data, for kids coming into third grade, we're in better shape. I received a preliminary report today that we have, I would say, around 10 students not where they need to be compared to last year at this time in third grade. We have 56 that we were worried about. So right. We are, you know, all indication is that we're headed the right way. And really, that I think the other message I gave the staff is if we do the stuff that we know is working, the report card takes care of itself. We're much more than a report card in this school district. We have much more to offer. That's just one of our measures. But that measure isn't where it needs to be yet. But if we take care of, you know, learner-centered practices and growth mindset and measuring kids and giving them responsive feedback, that A is going to take care of itself at the end of the day. We're going to continue on our personalized platform. That's where we've seen the most growth. And so we're not happy with where we're at, but there are some indications that we're continuing the right trajectory.
I remember when Steve came and talked to us about literacy and how, you know, he was going to be focusing on every child that needed support, and it's going to take a couple years, but eventually that meant that our intervention was going to be able to shift down to those younger kids, and we're seeing that now. You know, when there's only 10 that are behind versus 50, that means that our intervention is going to be happening at the very beginning when it's going to be more impactful. So good job.
We're getting there.
We're getting there. Yep.
Never at the pace I like, but we'll get there, right?
That's right. Patience.
I also wanted to give the board, I know in the board work plan, one of the things that the board is very passionate about is creating and supporting professional development opportunities for staff. So I try to report out on that at the end of every summer, because we kind of do our own, for lack of a better word, university for teachers in the summer. We were able to offer 19 different courses this summer. We had 112 teachers participate. 28 of them received college credit for their work. And there were over 300 plus courses taken. So the 112 people took advantage of multiple courses and sessions to participate in. So, and they don't have to go to a college campus. They get to take it right here in one of our buildings. And Karen Wells kind of heads that up with Jonathan. It goes really, really well. So I wanted to let you know.
Thank you. Thanks.
That's all I have.
Okay. Treasury report.
Mine is more of a legislative update, so hopefully I don't take all the Dick's thunder, but I attended a...
I have nothing.
Oh,
okay. We're holding that to you.
I attended a state budget update hosted by OSBA this week. I just thought I'd give you a couple updates on some of the things that impact us the most. Randy Gardner, I believe he's from the House, and Andrew Brent Bennett... Andrew Brenner from the Senate was there, and they spoke. That was one of the highlights, was hearing some of the things that they're interested in and some of the things that they would like to see change. I guess the thing you don't know is that's one person's opinion, so they say they would like this to happen. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but I did hear some things that were encouraging to me, some other things that weren't so encouraging. The one that really piqued my interest was they spoke about the tangible personal property tax reimbursement. I kind of had really felt like that was kind of a dead issue, but Mr. Gardner, you know, brought that up in terms of you know, him liking to see that reimbursement to even if it continues to go down at some point, to be able to hold it in place and to maintain that reimbursement. So that was the first I'd heard that there's still a push for that to happen from the legislative side. So. That was good news. So to me, it kind of pointed to we still need to continue to, you know, make some noise around that topic. I guess on the bad side was the talk about Medicaid. That stuff is mostly over my head, but they did talk a little bit about the potential Medicaid changes, and sounded like whichever way it goes, it could potentially lead to higher costs. So that one didn't sound like good news. And another big one, that I was, one of the main reasons I went there was to learn about the CAUV changes. I've personally been hearing, from some farmers in the area of, not real happy with the increases in their valuations in CAUV values. So that was addressed in the current state budget. Starting in tax year 2017, there's going to be some reductions in CAUV values. I have to get with the county auditor to really see how that's going to impact, because if there's a reduction in the agricultural values, that would typically mm-hmm. lead to an increase in the residential values. So we're mm-hmm. still, learning how that's really going to play out, but it looks like there will be some relief for the farmers in their CAUV values. Okay. That's all.
That's it. Okay. My report, we had a community coffee last Saturday, and I think it was a victim of just way too many things going on in Marysville, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We had the large farmer's market was
right.
going on.
Right.
Back to school
right.
Readiness going on. So we did have anyone attend,
okay.
so we were able to talk to some people that were just in the coffee shop.
Good.
But
okay. That's good. Take advantage of anything that you can, right?
Yeah.
And then next month, we're going to have one at Raymond Library, and that one will start at 10 o'clock because the library doesn't open until 10. So we just want to try and be accessible to some other, a little bit closer to some other folks in our community. Also, I'm very excited to announce, I don't think our board knows this yet, but today I received a letter from OSBA Central Region, and if you recall, we nominated someone as an exemplary school employee and a friend of public education as well, and our nominations have been approved.
Oh.
So our very own Mr. Todd Johnson is our exemplary school employee, and you will be recognized in September on the 27th. So I'm sure we'll be sending out some more information, but congratulations in advance of that public recognition at the conference. And then I'll touch base with Mr. Fox, right? I'm very excited about that. And also just kind of wanted to tag team on Diane's comment about convocation. I've been going to those now for, 5 or 6 years, and it just feels like every year the atmosphere is better and better and better, and there's so much excitement and energy in that room. It's really one of my most favorite days. Another exciting recognition is that our own Mr. Smith is going to be recognized by OCLRE, which is the Ohio Center for Law-Related Education, and they are awarding him with a Founders Award. And when is that going to take place?
That's in September.
In September. So congratulations. And that has to do with your work with mock trial?
Right.
Yes. So congratulations. We've got an action item to talk about our work session. But, I really appreciate the time and the thought that you all put into that. So we'll be discussing some of the few revisions that we made, but I think just kind of the importance of keeping an eye on our work plan. And then wanted to mention a couple of chamber events. I went to a chamber board meeting this morning, and actually the meeting started with, we introduced Ryan Walker, our new athletic director, and he wanted to go to have a chance to meet with a lot of the business people in town, and really talked about the importance of partnerships and how he hopes that everybody feels comfortable reaching out to him. He'd love to partner with them in a variety of different ways, any way that they think would be beneficial for them and for the district. So it was nice to be able to introduce him there. He stayed for the whole meeting, which was nice. And then a couple of events that I think are something we should all maybe try and consider attending, but this coming Wednesday, August 23rd, from 6 to 8:30, there's going to be a community policing event. The Chamber and our police department are hosting that. It's at the police department. Going to be talking about DARE, school resource officers, block watch, women's defense classes, so just a variety of really good types of information. It's free, but if you're interested in attending, please give the chamber a call. And then the second item is a business impact breakfast. That's the following day, Thursday, August 24th. They generally start at 8 o'clock in the morning. I think they'd like you there at about 7:50. It's at Union Rural Electric. and they're going to have a panel discussion on the 33 smart corridor. So, you know, it kind of ties into what Jesse was talking about, the fact that we've got this smart corridor that's going right past our school district, and really it's an amazing opportunity for our students and for our whole community. So I think that's, they said it's already almost a packed room. So again, you would just need to call the chamber. And then another event that's going to happen before our next meeting is the Eyes of Freedom is coming to town, and that's kind of a life-size portraits of fallen soldiers from the Lima Company. It's a traveling Lima Company memorial, and that's going to be from September 7th through September 11th at the National Guard Armory. And so I just think that's kind of another nice community event that I'm aware of. So that's all I have. Sorry, lots of stuff. So legislative report, Mr. Smith.
Legislature's on vacation.
Okay. All right, good. Then, finally, we have a safety report here, and I know we have, because Mrs. Powers is not here at the meeting, we have some other folks here to present.
Chelsea from Union County Drug... Are you talking, Chelsea, or just the
I'm taking pictures.
Okay, okay, perfect. So we have Lindsay, Carly, and Anthony that would want an opportunity to talk to all of you about the work we're doing.
Okay.
With you, right?
And this has to do, this is kind of ties into whole, our whole idea of safety. So, great.
If you guys want to turn around again, we have time.
Okay.
This is just the slideshow that we're going to be
showing. Okay, great. Thank you.
So my name is Carly, and I go to STEM Marysville Early College High School, and I'm a senior. Oh, and I've been in youth teeth for 3 years.
My name is Anthony Belts. I am a senior. My home school is North Union. I've been in youth teeth for 5 years.
My name is Lindsay Featheroff. I'm a senior at Marysville Early College High School, and I've been in youth teeth for 5 years as well. IT Pathway, I got this.
Okay. Okay.
We have Union County students take the YRBS, or the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, once every other year, which is the 7th, the 9th, and the 11th. And in our latest numbers, 15.7 Union County students report drinking in the last 30 days. And then 17% of 9th graders have reported drinking in the last 30 days, and female students have reported drinking more than the male peers. 11th grade have reported 28% in drinking in the past 30 days, and students report that alcohol is getting easier to get.
So what do we know from the Youth Risk Behavior Survey and other information? We know that teens get drunk twice as fast as adults. They don't know when to stop, which causes more safety problems and health problems. Teens also drink to get drunk. We don't just drink to watch a game. We drink to get a lot of alcohol in our system and do dumb things, basically.
So basically what I'm going to be talking to you about now is the environmental scan that youth-to-youth members, the coalition, and law enforcement did together. This is basically where this group goes into stores, and they sort of assess where alcohol is sold, how it's sold, the position of where it is in the store. And when we go in to do these environmental scans, we have three end goals in mind. So these end goals are encourage best practices, which is basically like IDing who you're selling to always and being sure that you can tell between a fake ID and a real ID. Reducing theft and increasing compliance. So speaking more to reducing theft, this is talking more to about the position of where alcohol is sold in the store. So this is looking at if it's high or low on shelves and really how close it is to the door. When we look at this, we really look to see if it is in sight of the cashier. So this is to see if somebody has the ability to stow it away and then run out the door. So if this is positioned more in sight and closer to the cashier, that's easier to catch. We also have limiting single-serve alcohol products to coolers. Doing this will help to prevent from that stealing. We also have no cold singles by the door or checkout. This just encourages not drinking while you're driving, and things like that.
This picture also represents that the alcohol is not in the eyesight of the cashier. It's in the way back of the store. It's down low. I had a sweatshirt on that day, and we were looking to see if the manager was looking, and I literally could come down here, pick up the alcohol, and slip it in my pocket and walk out the door. So very easy to steal.
Now moving to increasing compliance. So this is basically being able to have that work relationship with the store and also with law enforcement and the coalition. Basically what we want to see is the legal age of selling these items. So alcohol is obviously a big thing. So we want to see like 21 years of age to buy this product, or if we're talking about tobacco, 18 years to buy cigarettes. With increased compliance, this is basically using law enforcement and helping that work with the school or work with the stores and decrease youth sales.
A side note about increasing compliance, Marysville PD has been doing compliance checks since May, I think. Is that right, Jonathan? Since May? Mm-hmm. Once a month. And the August compliance check, they sent underage people into 10 different retail outlets in Union County, mm-hmm. And 5 of them failed. Mm-hmm. So our goal as a coalition is to work with those retail outlets to ensure that their staff is properly trained. Mm-hmm. We hosted a responsible beverage server training sometime in the late spring, early summer, I believe, and that is offered free of charge to all retail outlets or restaurants in Union County to send their staff to
get trained. I'm going to give them a flyer when we're there for that.
Yeah. Did you get much of a response when you offer that class?
I think this most recent one was fairly well attended. I know Benny's was probably the most highly represented organization that was at the training. Mm-hmm. I don't know a ton about it. I wasn't at it, but I know that they're planning to do another one like in the fall or winter.
Thanks.
Yeah. Are they putting their liquor license at risk?
Yes. So when a retail outlet fails a compliance check, the person who sold, the individual who sold the alcohol or whatever, they're fined, as well as the business is fined. And if they have, I think, 3 violations within a 12-month period, then they have to sit in front of the Board of Liquor to mm-hmm. figure out how they cannot fail anymore those compliance checks. So I think it's 3 within a 12-month period mm-hmm. Before they have to stand before the board.
The question I have is you're working with businesses and so forth, and you've got some information on the numbers or percentages of students that are using alcohol. Did you gather any data on the percentage that might be getting alcohol from home?
Yes. Do you want to answer it or do you want me to?
Correct me if I'm wrong. But that is actually the number one way they get alcohol is from their parents pretty much.
Usually from a private residence or an older peer who buys it for them. Mm-hmm. We do some work related to social hosting laws, which is the law that holds property owners responsible for underage drinking on their property. It's extremely difficult, however, to enforce a lot of that unless local law enforcement gets a tip. And they do have several different, like, each law enforcement agency has a tip line for that.
Yeah.
that it is extremely difficult to make much of an impact on the private residents. And like Lindsay said, that's where most young people are getting alcohol. I know when I was growing up, there was beer in the fridge. Mm-hmm. If I wanted it, I could have got it. So this is just one of the ways that we tackle underage drinking. Our coalition focuses on three different substances. So we do prescription drug abuse, underage marijuana use, and underage drinking. And so we have several different approaches to each of those substances. And this is just one of the things that we did for underage drinking. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. So our last slide is about recognition. So not only do we want to go into the businesses and tell them what we think is wrong with them, we also want to recognize the ones that are doing good for us. So Turkey Hill is the store that we recognized this year. They are actually known for not selling to adults who they know are going to sell or give it to the kids outside of their store, which we thought was pretty great. We've heard multiple stories from them. So that's who we recognized this year. Do you guys have any other questions for us? Yeah.
You mentioned earlier that some of the drinking habits are different for teens than for adults, like drinking to get drunk or not knowing your limits. Do you know anything about like driving under the influence? Is that different for younger drinkers too? Is there any more?
Like based on my opinion or based on?
No, based on anything that you've studied or seen. Yeah.
I know that underage drinking and driving is a concern. We're also seeing an increase in drug driving arrests, mm-hmm. And that's for all age groups. I also teach the driver intervention program, so if somebody over the age of 18 gets the first offense OBI, mm-hmm. they have the option to go to jail for 3 days or come take a class mm-hmm. for 3 days, and I teach that class. So we've seen an increase in drug driving arrests. Within the last several years. I don't know numbers related specifically to underage drinkers. But one of the big concerns we have for underage drinkers, because they drink to get drunk, they're not, like Lindsay said, they're not drinking to like wind down at the end of the day or something. They're not going to have a beer. And their tolerance is significantly lower because they're younger. We see higher rates of alcohol poisoning and just general accidents. Whether it's falling or some other kind of just injury-causing accident. And like I said, we see high rates of alcohol poisoning a lot because if somebody has too much, their friends are afraid to call help for them because then they might get in trouble.
Well, a lot of those things are happening on the colleges, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
At least that's my impression.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you also have an opinion about the teens drinking and driving?
From my experiences there, or at least the story, obviously not my experiences, but the stories that I've heard, teens don't really think about it. They just do it. It's not, oh, I'm drinking and driving. It's, oh, I'm just going to get in my car and drive. Mm-hmm. So the perception of danger is definitely not there, especially when they're under the influence.
Mm-hmm. I also think, and Chelsea mentioned this, teens don't really want to ask for help. So if a teen is drunk, they don't want to call a parent or call an adult and say, I need a ride home, mm-hmm. because they're like, I'm going to get in trouble. Mm-hmm. And so that's a really common conception, is that they don't want to ask for help because they know that they might get in trouble with that.
So in the past, there's been encouragement to form a contract with your children. If you find yourself in that position, call. No questions asked.
For parents and child. So
is that still
part of? Yes, I would say that goes along with the Start Talking program. Would you say?
Start Talking is a state initiative from the governor's office that encourages parents to talk with their children early and often about expectations related to all kinds of different decisions. But I think specifically, it's for drug and alcohol use. But it could also be about sex. It could also be about eating habits, whatever. It could be about anything. Mm-hmm. But research shows us that when parents set clear expectations with their kids and they talk about it frequently, a lot of parents might think, well, oh, I'm putting it in their mind or I'm causing them to think about wanting to make those choices. It actually decreases rates mm-hmm. of use when parents set those clear expectations mm-hmm. Frequently and early. I know, like I
I can talk about my own experiences. When I was in high school, my mom told me something similar to that. If you're in a situation that you're uncomfortable with, call me. I'll come get you. I think a lot of parents would prefer to get woken up at 4 in the morning or something and go get their kid as opposed to hearing that they got in an accident or something. But I don't know that necessarily teens trust that. Like, I probably still would have gotten in trouble, but it would have been obviously a better outcome than what could have happened.
I also think sometimes teens trust other adults rather than parents. So I do see a lot more trust with teens and maybe a teacher or maybe a friend's parent.
Mm-hmm.
So I see a lot of that more often than I see parents and children, sadly.
Yeah.
That was interesting. Your survey showed that females reported drinking more often than males. In your opinion, do you think that's a trend, or do you think females are more honest than males?
Yeah.
Well, we do compare our survey to another county that is like ours and somewhere else in the country to make sure that our data is correct.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say that females are more pressured into it, would be my argument.
Especially younger.
Yeah, younger
girls.
From what I've seen as patterns, a lot of the girls start younger. That's just from what I've seen. I don't know if the data backs that up, but I've seen a lot more Snapchat stories. I don't know if you guys have those. But there's a lot more younger girls that post drinking on their stories than younger guys. Younger guys want to go play sports. And girls kind of have Twitter and Snapchat.
I think there's a perception that females who drink are more attractive, also.
Yeah.
So that kind of goes back to the social pressure that she's talking about. I might be trying to fit in with a group of girls, or I might be trying to appeal to somebody that I'm attracted to or whatever, or make myself more appealing by doing what I perceive to be more attractive. There's a whole host of data related to with those three substances specifically that I talked about, but risky behaviors that young people engage in general from the health department. Like Anthony said, they do the survey every 2 years. There's actually going to be one done this year for 7th, 9th, and 11th graders. And so we have 2016 data, and then probably next spring we'll have, it'll be 2018, sorry, this school year, not year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's relatively recent data, and it's analyzed by epidemiologists, and they, like Lindsay said, they do all kinds of things to eliminate bias and make sure that our numbers are within.
And that kind of helps you decide the kinds of things that you're going to focus on as a group, or the kind of messages that you do, or?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I'm very passionate about marijuana and anti-marijuana, so I kind of, stir the group that way.
Mm-hmm.
But we do focus on alcohol because it is the most used substance.
Mm-hmm.
So yes and no.
Okay.
We tend to focus on all three.
Gotcha.
But we also have a tendency to look at mental health.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
stuff,
it all goes together.
Right.
Frequently.
And a lot of them are frequently together. So.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the last 3 years we did all three. Right,
mm-hmm.
We're doing marijuana this year,
mm-hmm.
and then last year we focused on alcohol abuse,
mm-hmm.
and the year before that we focused on mental health. So I would say the group focuses on all three, which I think is
we do. Since we started Start Talking campaign here in the district, we have seen an increase in responses of students saying that their parents are talking to them now. If it's directly a beneficiary from that work, I'm not sure, but we have seen an increase in kids self-reporting that their parents are talking to them more, so there are several things going on towards that end.
Right.
I think one of the key things about Start Talking is the often, early and often.
Right.
Because some parents will say, oh, like we talked about that one night at dinner, check that off the list, and then never talk about it again. And so their kids might even not have registered that, oh, my parents talked to me about drugs and alcohol. So that consistent message is what's really important when we're talking about the Start Talking campaign.
Okay, great.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you
for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
see, where are we? Okay, now we're into more of our business section here. So at this point, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes from, both our July 20th regular meeting and our July 27th work session.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Sattage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Were there any comments or corrections or revisions that anyone knows? Okay, roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Now for our Board of Education items. First up, we need a motion to approve the Board of Education goals and work plan.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith. I have a second.
I'll second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any comments? I know I have a few, but...
I just wanted to comment, kind of make everyone aware that we actually spent a large amount of time kind of going through our goals once again. It's a great way to help keep us focused on kind of the long-term task those board that we want to focus on and follow up on. And I guess I wanted to let everyone know that we don't just kind of do this once and put it away. I pull it out on a regular basis, kind of go through things, self-measure, am I doing things that I said that I was going to do, and I think we all do that same type of activity. It's a very, very helpful tool to help keep us moving on long-term goals for the district.
And it is on our website, so if anybody's ever interested. I think this time, but we really, last year we did a lot more wordsmithing, and so this time we had just a few words that we revised, but then we did have an addition that I think it's a really nice addition, and that was in the area of communication, that we talked about creating an informative communication piece in partnership with the superintendent and treasurer, so it could be digital, print, etc. And we did put a deadline on that, maybe a little optimistic, but we put a deadline of September 9th to maybe at least get started on that. So I would be, if anybody is interested in doing that, we could have a couple of us and just try and set up a time that we could set up separately with Diane and Todd, or just try and meet as a group and brainstorm about, the kinds of bullet points that we might want to have for our community coffees, or we've talked about visiting some of the senior centers, assisted living facilities, and just having those bullet points about the district that we want to make sure we don't forget to let people know about what's happening. So if you're interested, let me know, and we'll try and get started on that.
Okay.
Then how about a roll call?
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Thanks again for all of your work. Next item is to approve a 0.5% increase for the superintendent and treasurer contract.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Comments or questions on this? It's pretty much in line with...
This is in line with what we did for the entire staff of the district-wide. So just bringing the treasurer and superintendent in line with what we did for the whole district. We have a lot to be proud of on the accomplishments that we've made this past year.
And as far as timing, I know last month we did our end-of-year evaluation of our treasurer and superintendent, so I kind of felt like let's wait until we get through those evaluations before we put on this 0.5% increase on the agenda item. So,
and I think it's also important to note that these are the only two people that we
directly
employ in contract. So,
That's exactly right. Okay, can I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now we also need a motion to recommend to approve the superintendent's contract.
So moved.
Motion by, is that you, Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Comments?
Well, we've talked before about wanting the district to be competitive, and
you know, we want this district to be a jewel. We want it to attract people to the community, and we want it to do well by all the students. And there's a lot of facets to that, but one of the most important is the staff, the teachers, the administration, and so on. And when we say we're trying to keep competitive, what we mean is we want to be able to attract good professionals here and keep them. So that's what we're talking about, and we're very aware of what other districts are doing, how much they're paying their staff, and other kinds of things that might attract administrators or teachers. So I feel very good about our teachers and our administration, in particular our superintendent and our treasurer, and I think we need to do what we can to keep them here.
I'd like to just comment on the vision for the district. I've worked with many organizations where you have leadership at the helm that doesn't necessarily have a vision for where the organization needs to go. And it's very, very important that you have a leader that has a vision, that's able to communicate that vision, and that supports that vision through professional development and embracing new ideas and new technologies to make that happen. And I feel that our district is very much on the cutting edge of all of those items, embracing the new ideas, embracing the new technology, and bringing the staff up to speed on these new ideas, these new concepts, and implementing very successful measures for the district.
I've said oftentimes that I want our salaries and benefits to be competitive. When I ran for office, I told people I wanted our community and our school system to be a destination school system. And I know that from my experience in education, if you do not compensate so that you retain good people, attract good people, and so forth, that impacts dramatically not only the school system but the entire community. If you look at communities in central Ohio and you ask people, where would you like to live, they will name typically communities that have good school systems. I think that every time you look at a contract, you have an opportunity to reassess. And it becomes a time, whether it's teachers or tonight our superintendent, you have an opportunity to reassess the compensation. Because in essence, you're initiating a new contract to them. You're kind of hiring them at that time and to move forward. And I'm not sure I said that in a way that makes sense, but I think you have to look at that. And I think that as I look back, Todd and Diane both, when they got their original contracts here, their experience at that time were in assistant positions. They both had demonstrated tremendous leadership, vision, and if we were sitting here and reviewing their credentials today to offer them employment, we would be looking at people that have a great track record in leadership and education. Diane, specifically because it's her contract, came and took this job at a time that was difficult. She worked through the difficulties. She has taken a solid, well-performing district, and she's moved it forward. She's challenged teachers and administrators of this district to be better every day in everything that they do. She has helped to develop innovative approaches to education, collaboration with others to develop instructional methods, and inspire the children that are in essentially her care in our community. which has brought local, regional, state, and national attention to our district. And she has developed and continues to attract partnerships with businesses. We saw an example tonight of one of the partnerships. We have a young man that I think is set on a very solid career, and I expect that he will be able to look back to his experiences in high school and the opportunities that were created by programs that Diane was instrumental in developing for that opportunity. So I think the contract that we're offering her reflects our district and community commitment to attract and retain not only her as an individual, but people throughout our district that are well qualified to lead education in our community.
Very well said. And I, you know, one of the things I just want to add is that, that the focus has always been on student achievement and accountability. You know, and I think you hold yourself to that standard more than anyone else. And whenever there've been any issues, they've been dealt with very in a timely manner. The communication's been good with the board, and really, I value our professional working relationship as a governance team. And again, I think that's, you know, that's what I felt at convocation. You know, just it's really, it feels like a family out there, and people are excited, and they're. And they know it's not going to be an easy year, you know, and you are pushing them to try new things. But I really feel like it's paying off, and I'm excited. And because I like to always include a little bit of education, you know, I know that there were some questions about timing of contracts, you know, because your original contract was from 2012 to 15. We renewed that in 2014. For 4 years, and by law code, we are required to address that contract within a 16-month time frame. So we could start discussing it as early as January 1st of this year, but we're required to make to take action by May 1st. And so, you know, I think for us, it's just kind of worked out when you have those evaluations or we have work sessions. It gives us a chance outside of a board meeting where, you know, we might be here for several hours to sit there and really focus on what is our vision as a district and how do we feel we're moving forward, because it was our decision to hire you two to lead our district, and clearly I think we're all on the same page as far as feeling happy about where we're going. So we appreciate what you've done, if you can't tell. Any other comments? Okay.
I think it's just the right time.
I think so too. Right. Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, we need a motion to approve the treasurer and CFO action items.
So moved.
I'll second that. Any comments?
No, nothing really to point out. I think we have some nice donations on there, and the cash flow is our first cash flow with projections for the new fiscal year.
Okay.
So not really a lot of surprises in there.
Right. Okay, roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
All right. Next up, we need a motion to recommend to approve a certified substitute. Paul Devine is a long-term at Bunsold Middle School.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Luke.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Abstain. And motion carries. Our next item, I need a motion to approve the superintendent items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Ms. Mankins.
You kind of have a laundry list tonight.
I know. Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff. That's okay.
If you have specific questions, we can jump around.
Okay.
I did want to hit on the organizational chart. I had told you guys that we were contemplating switching some things around.
Right.
One of my jobs is really to grow my team. And, you know, someday I know Jonathan wants to be a superintendent, and so we shifted some things around to give him some more opportunities, and you'll see kind of the residual effect of those shifts. Nothing too significant, but that is a result of work this summer with Lynette to kind of reorganize a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't have any questions on that, but I just thought I'd
I think
a little bit and give you
I think it makes a lot of sense, and I'm excited for Jonathan. I think he's more than capable of taking on some additional responsibilities. So,
well, we shifted. We just didn't try to add to him, but
still
has
a
lot of responsibilities for sure.
So I want to make sure I'm reading this right. The athletic director reports to the principal.
Always. Okay. Yes.
That would be the high school principal.
High school principal, right? The assistant athletic director mostly has middle school responsibilities, so that person works with the athletic director and mostly the middle school principal.
Okay.
It wasn't very easy to get all the lines in the right direction on one sheet of paper.
I believe it. Yeah, I know. I'm impressed.
Is there some reason Board of Education is on the back side of the page?
It was at the top.
That's overflow.
All right. There's also, you have bus routes. We have volunteers. We have bus routes. We have time schedules. Nothing's changed with the time schedule. We're just required by law to do the stops. And obviously, we don't publish the entire route with times on it for safety purposes. Students are informed of when to be at the route, but do you remember the old days when you'd post at your school and people would go up and read? Well, certainly we don't publish that information like that anymore for safety concerns. As well, we have several second reads of different policies. As we discussed last time, a majority of those policies were the addition of a word to get us in compliance.
Federal, if I recall.
Federal. and I know I didn't receive any follow-up calls after the last meeting on policies at all. And then we have several student accounts for approval as well.
I noticed a couple of internships on there, too, that, you know, some students coming and interning, I think, in speech and maybe athletics.
So when we brought Steve on board, Steve Griffin, he does teach for Ohio State, and as a benefit, we're able to attract some speech interns.
Right.
So that's, I think, one of the ways we're making some solid traction with our interventions. So he's taking those people, and they are working directly with students on their early literacy skills as well. So
that's pretty exciting.
We had a trip on there, I believe, to maybe
the softball,
for the high
softball trip. Okay. Any questions, anyone? It's all pretty straightforward. Okay. Roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now, comments and questions. Well, Mr. Smith, any comments and or questions?
No, I think the Monarch Stadium Drive is the brochure and so forth. Looks wonderful. I think Steve did a very nice job. And I'll mention that to him the next time I see him. The thing that I guess that I like is on that particular topic is that we're moving forward to address some real needs for large numbers of kids. I'm absolutely thrilled that we're going to have a facility where kids can bundle after school, can turn around, walk out, and go to a football game, or go to a soccer match, or go to a lacrosse match, or whatever it happens to be in the stadium. I think that's going to be absolutely wonderful. Start a school, Mm-hmm. I know the grandkids were excited, thrilled, couldn't wait to get there. We'll wait to see what their second day looks like. but no, they were, you know, they were excited. New clothes and new backpacks,
oh, yeah.
And new experiences waiting them. And I know that the teachers have worked incredibly hard. You mentioned earlier how many took professional development, and the LPBC, I don't know if they still use that, you know, but I know that the work I did on that and all of the in-service and so forth is so meaningful. And I think one of the most positive and most important and most significant things about that is it's local, it's in-house, it's what the teachers ask for. How can I be better? And we work to try to bring that to them. So.
And it's nice that they can be there with their peers too, you know,
yes.
to kind of bounce ideas off of each other and share things.
There's nothing worse than going to educational professional development that's not important to you.
Yeah.
And so letting the teachers make it important for themselves is going to inspire fantastic results. Mm-hmm. So.
I also want to comment, I do love the brochure. I think it's very good. It'll be a very nice tool to get out into the community, whether you're talking about individual partnerships or business partnerships. I think this represents the district very, very well. I did want to say thank you to Lindsay, Carly, and Anthony from Youth to You. They did a really nice job presenting information, and clearly they're very passionate about their activity, and that's always wonderful to see.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also wanted to thank our intern from the Early College High School. Jesse did a really nice job presenting. Came across as very professional, and I think he does definitely represent our district very well. So very excited to hear him talk about his experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad we got to recognize the show choir tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I have some idea of how hard they work, which is quite hard, and also their parents. Mm-hmm. Some of the parents put in extraordinary hours, which makes me glad that my child is not in show choir. But I think they deserve that recognition. I'm excited about the new year. We have our own goals.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to working on those. My stepdaughter had her first couple of days at the STEM school, and she seemed to be in a pretty good mood today.
Good.
So I'm looking forward to visiting some of the buildings on my list soon. So looking forward to a new year.
Great. Todd?
Unfortunately, they're not here, but just very impressed with the students that presented tonight, both the Youth to Youth and Jesse. So
right.
She represented the district very well, and then also thank you to the board for the raise. It's appreciated.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I would also just think, you know, you sit back and you think about presenting to a group of adults that you don't really know, and the talents of our students and a North Union student. We can add
right.
In there.
That's
that
right. That's
a
fine.
Nice job. And certainly our relationship with Honda and partnership, just that it exemplifies the trust that exists for them to take a risk on us, so we look forward to that kind of blossoming into even more. Thanks again for the new contract. I would just tell you I appreciate the vote of confidence. I couldn't be more honored and proud to serve this community and the students and families here. It's a great place to be. It's going to get even better, I promise. We're going to keep pushing forward, so thank you for that as well. I appreciate it.
Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We love what's happening here. So we're excited to be a part of it. shout out for the solar eclipse on Monday. Mm-hmm. Didn't know, and Mondays and Wednesdays sometimes are my days off, so I'm hoping to do some building visits, very brief building visits. I thought, where do I want to be around 2 o'clock on Monday? Which building should I try and be at, you know? Because I didn't get any glasses yet. So actually, I printed off how to make your own solar box or something, you know, the pinhole box. Mm-hmm. But let's see, and then our extracurricular activities between show choir and band and all of the other sports. I'm just excited for a new season for our Monarchs, so it'll be exciting to see everybody out there at different events and see our community excited to go to football games and things like that. So
I did forget, September 1st, the first home game, the district is wearing a tight, strong shirt.
So right.
I would encourage you to do that. I don't know if it's going to carry over the football game yet or not, but we talked about it at convocation. So,
right.
The Touchdown Club is selling those shirts for $10, but we'll try to do a...
Do they have them at the high... Wait, who's selling them?
The quarterback club.
Okay, Touchdown Club, yeah. Okay, quarterback club is selling.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know if they had them in the high school store or not.
They do not. Okay. But they're taking orders in every building, too. So if you're visiting, you can put your order in one of the buildings or at the board office.
Right, or even at the board office.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Madam President.
Yes.
I intended to mention this, but I missed. Our first goal, Objective A, number 2, says hire and retain qualified staff.
So yes.
We can
check that one off, right?
On one of our board goals.
Yay! Yes, the majority of them are just kind of ongoing, you know, that just kind of reminds me, because I think when we went through it, it's kind of a nice reminder. Sometimes you look at those and you're like, you know, we're doing all right, you know. I mean, I think we're trying to continue to educate ourselves and remember what our role is as governing body. So appreciate all that. I think we are now ready for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr.